Hey, everybody. It's in the Charlie Kirk Show. Steve Kirsch joins us for some bombshell news about the Israeli government covering up vaccine data. Also, how much money does Anthony Fauci make when he peddles vaccines on you? That and so much more. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. That's Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or a college chapter today. Turning Point USA is on the front lines to start high school and college chapters all across the country. That is tpusa.com. Help us in our mission of doing that. For a gift of $10 or more at tpusa.com, if you guys follow the right links, you guys will be able to get a copy of The College Scam. If you're a student out there, start a high school chapter. If you're a college student, start a high school chapter at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is the battleship with hundreds of thousands of members. You guys can help us at tpusa.com. If you guys want to support our program directly, go to charliekirk.com/support. When we dive into some of the more controversial topics like the vaccine, people don't get too happy in the corporate world. So if you want to support our show directly, go to charliekirk.com/support. Support us at charliekirk.com/support. Antoinette, charliekirk.com/support. Thank you. Lori from Idaho, thank you. Andrew from South Carolina, thank you. Lisa from Michigan, thank you. Ann from Illinois, thank you. Gerald from California, thank you. Ralph from Alabama. Trudy from Alabama. Peter from California. Megan from Arizona. Julia from Hawaii. Matthew from California, thank you. charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, so we're talking about the vaccine, and Steve Kirsch is going to be joining us. He's terrific. And Steve Kirsch has been doing fabulously courageous work on the vaccine issue. It's a profile in courage, and he says, and I don't want to misquote him here, this article is one of the most important articles he has ever published. Well, ask him myself. Joining us right now is Steve Kirsch. Steve, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks for having me again.
So, Steve, I want to just dive right into this article that you wrote here on your Substack. Proof that Israel found serious safety problems with the COVID vaccines, then deliberately covered it up. Now, this caught my attention for a couple reasons, the first of which is that the scientific standard set forth by the Israeli scientific community is well respected amongst laymen across the world. I remember many people said, Charlie, I'm going to take the vaccine because the Israeli scientists say it's okay. Tell us about what you found here.
Well, you know, that was the common understanding. And in fact, you know, when I first met Robert Malone, and he was telling me that that the U.S. agencies actually rely on the Israelis because the Israelis have a much better healthcare system and records and tracking and so forth. And he said that in the U.S., it's just a mess. We rely in the U.S. on reporting from states. And often that reporting is unreliable. It's very late, and we get the data in just a very haphazard way. And so I had heard that the U.S. agencies relied upon the Israeli data for their safety data.
So, but what did you find, and you articulate it in this article, about how Israel, which in some ways is the influencer amongst influencers, they knew that the vaccine had safety problems, and then they deliberately covered it up. What you're alleging here is an intentional campaign of deceit and of misleading. I mean, if this is not mass fabrication, I don't know what is. I mean, this is a huge scandal. Crimes against humanity by the Israeli government. Walk us through this.
Yes. And I agree with your assessment. There is no way that you can look at this and come to any other conclusion other than this was deliberate fraud in order to cover up all of the issues with the vaccination program. So the details are that Israel, sort of unbeknownst to us, didn't actually have a very good vaccine monitoring program. In fact, it was worse than the vaccine monitoring program that we have in the United States, which is known as the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is a voluntary reporting system, and it tends to be underreported by at least a factor of 41. So anytime you hear a number from the VAERS system, and you have to be careful of whether you're hearing the numbers that are domestic only versus worldwide, because often you go to openvaers.com, that by default is the worldwide numbers. The U.S. numbers are about half that, but you have to take that and multiply it by 41. So that's our system. We thought the Israelis had a better system. We were wrong. The Israelis were worse than we were. And so this occurred throughout the first year of the vaccination program, where the Israelis really weren't tracking the adverse event data. And when there was some Facebook post where they asked for some information, and they got bombarded with these adverse event reports that were coming in over and over and over again. And what the Israeli government did is they deleted these posts in order to make it look like there were only a few complaints. So they clearly knew back then that these adverse events were much worse and much more frequent than they were telling people. But they knew internally that there was nothing going on for the first 12 months in terms of data collection. So what they did is they started a data collection program in December of 2021 in order to collect the safety data. It's, you know, kind of like better late than never. And so they started collecting data. And at the same time they did that, they employed an outside team of experts to help them collect the data. And so that data collection happened between December of 2021 and May of 2022. And then there was a meeting on early June, probably June 6th or somewhere around there, between the experts who had gathered the data and the representatives from the Ministry of Health. Now, the top person at the Ministry of Health, who's in charge of this, was not present at that meeting because she probably had something more important to do. Now, what that is, we don't know. She wasn't at the meeting. So it's representatives of the Ministry of Health meeting with the expert panel that was employed. They had 6 months of collecting data to look at. And what they found was appalling. They found that instead of these vaccine events being short-term and mild, they were instead long-term and serious, with, in the case of neurological events, 65% of them were unresolved, meaning that they could be permanent, but certainly they were not resolved within the period of time when they were surveying people in terms of their response. So, you know, looking at 18 months worth of actual evidence, but only collecting it over the last 6 months. So in other words, if you got somebody in the last 6 months, you collected their data, you're collecting their data from when they got the shot. So what they found was exactly opposite to what the people were being told. So now the right thing to do in a situation like that is to come out immediately and tell people, hey, sorry, we made a mistake. We should have been monitoring it. We weren't. And we did a safety study. We were telling you it's mild and short term, and we lied to you. And they should have come clean at that point. But what they did is they spent 2 months in order to figure out how to present the data so that it would be like, nothing to see here, folks, move along. And so that's what they did. They issued a report to the public saying, nothing new to see here, folks, move along, when they know that it was the opposite. It was long-term, serious causality. Those are the three things, long-term, serious, and causality. Those are the three things they discovered. In fact, this is the first respected organization to actually find causality, that the vaccines actually caused serious side effects, as opposed to, correlation isn't causality, which is what you typically hear.
There's so many things I want to ask you about this, but why are we just learning about this now?
Well, we're learning about this now because someone on that call recorded secretly the call. And nobody knew that they were being recorded. If they knew they were being recorded, I think they might have acted differently. But people believed that this was a confidential meeting.
We have that clip. So this is a new revelation of a secret call that is now, it should be worldwide news. It should be front page of Wall Street Journal news. But there's an agenda here behind the vaccine industry that I think is so sinister, where you can't have discourse, you can't have dialogue, any sort of information gets suppressed. But Steve Kirsch is a glitch in the matrix, $20 million Democrat donor who took the vaccine and is now on a crusade of truth, just to tell people the truth. It takes courageous people like that. That's what makes America so great. You can hold tyrants accountable. All it takes is one person. Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone, just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868, text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group. So, Steve, I'm going to play a piece of tape here, and then you're going to tell us what we're listening to and walk our audience through it. Play cut 46, please.
Here in this slide, the researchers present an example of how people described, in their own words, new side effects. The example shown here is hyperesthesia. Half an hour after the first vaccination, my legs started to feel numb. This continued until the second vaccination. When the second vaccine was administered, the sensation also appeared in the hands, neck, and face. And the numbness continues even these days. The symptom reappears every day. The research team repeatedly stresses that their study found a causal relationship of new and long-term side effects in the vaccine.
Steve, who's talking there and what is the significance of that?
So that's Yaffa. Yaffa is an independent journalist based in Israel. She used to work for the mainstream press. I think she worked, had a career as a correspondent for over 20 years. And then she was fired because she started speaking out against the vaccines. And so now this is what she does. So she got a copy of the recording of that meeting. And what she did is provided the English translation and also the commentary that you just heard. And the commentary that you just heard was of patients. Basically, it's called rechallenge. And rechallenge means that if you get the vaccine, never had any neurological problems before, suddenly develop neurological problems. Now, those neurological problems either go away in time or they remain the same. Now, when you're given then the second vaccine, because you believe that those neurological problems were just coincidence, you get the second vaccine. So what happens then either is the neurological problem then returns after they got the vaccine, or if it was stable, then it got worse. And so that's known as a rechallenge, and it is a hallmark of this is causality. when there's a dose response relationship, when you re-challenge the same person and you get the same effect happening again in the same person, whenever you apply the stimulus, that is cause and effect. It's like if you swing the golf club and you hit the golf ball and it travels 240 yards the first time, and you do it again, you repeat it with the golf club and it goes 250 yards this time, and you repeat it again, it goes 220 yards this time. And when you don't swing the club, the ball stays on the tee. Okay, so you would say, well, that's causality. When you swing the club at the ball and you hit the ball, it goes 200 yards, probably the club that caused the ball to fly. The ball didn't fly on its own. And this is the same sort of thing, though, in medicine. And so it's saying that the vaccine has caused neurological injury. Now, this is new. This was never acknowledged by the CDC. It was never acknowledged by anyone in the entire world. It was only acknowledged by people like me who, as soon as we looked at the VAERS system, we saw these neurological problems coming up, out of our ears. And every time we would talk to a vaccine, someone who got the vaccine and was injured, they would always be reporting neurological problems. So we had no doubt whatsoever that neurological problems were being caused by the vaccines. But the CDC and the drug companies would deny this, and they say, mm-hmm. No, that's just coincidence. It's correlation. Correlation isn't causality. And they would give you all of these excuses. Now we have the data from an unimpeachable source that shows the vaccines are dangerous. And what happened is that not only did the Israelis cover it up, that's bad enough. And not only did nobody at the Ministry of Health call for an investigation, that's pretty bad. Nobody in the Israeli parliament called for an investigation, and nobody in the Israeli mainstream media even wanted to touch the story. They didn't even want to look at the videos. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, we looked at the data and we decided not to write about it, but they wouldn't even look at the data. And the same thing is true of the Western press. Now, this story went public on GB News. Neil Oliver, GB News, August 20th. Now, check the date, Charlie. To me, it's September 6th. Now, it's made public to the entire world on August 20th of this big problem. And do you think anybody even wants to see the data? Now, you would think that the health authorities, that public health officials, lawmakers, the mainstream media, infectious disease professors all over the world would say, hey, I want to see the data. You know, or the CDC would certainly say, I want to see the data. The FDA would say, I want to see the data.
Look, rents are going way too high. The rent is too high. If you're renting or have a friend or family member that is, right now is the time to make the move to homeownership. My good buddies, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific Mortgage have helped so many people to make that leap from renting to owning. I know what you're saying, oh, Charlie, rates are too high. Listen, you could always refinance. The problem is, though, why are you giving all of your money to rent when you could be building equity? With lots of programs that offer first-time buyers assistance with little to no down payment needed, I encourage you to visit AndrewandTodd.com right now. They're beautiful people. They're wonderful. The thing I love about these guys is not about the transaction. They're about helping you. They just helped me through a whole problem right now. They were amazing. There's no one like it. And by the way, I dealt with the banks before them. I mean, never again. The banks, the worst. Andrew and Todd made the whole process seamless. They're helping you create a plan to help you reach your goals, whether it's for today or a year from now. With today's still historically low interest rates, it's easier than you think to become a homeowner. I've relied on them, and producer Andrew has as well. I highly recommend you take action right now. I use them, and you should too. I know them personally. They're patriots. They're Christians. Unlike these big, woke, godless banks, why would you do your loans with banks who hate you? And if you know someone who's still paying rent, tell them about Andrew and Todd. Again, you might say, Charlie, now's the worst time to buy. That's not true. Okay, property values are going to go up, and if you're renting, you're getting poorer. So stop paying rent. Start putting your hard-earned money into a home. Again, there's some packages that might be available for you or no down payment. Go to AndrewandTodd.com. That is AndrewandTodd.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. They're wonderful people, enthusiastic. They send me scripture. They love the Lord. They love the country. Stop renting. Start buying. They're wonderful people. AndrewandTodd.com. let me play this clip and it will kind of jog our conversation here. Play cut 45.
The reported side effects were known before. No new signal was observed. This is the message recently communicated by the Ministry of Health in Israel to the public. Unfortunately, the research team commissioned had very different conclusions. In the discussion in which the research team reports its finding to the Ministry of Health, they found many long-term side effects with causal relations to the vaccines not listed by Pfizer.
So just to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, the allegation is the government of Israel knew that this vaccine was damaging their citizens. They covered it up, deleted entries, and then lied to the world about it. Why?
They didn't want to get in trouble, right? Anybody who speaks against the vaccine gets in trouble. They get their license taken away. They get their hospital privileges taken away. They get ostracized by their peers. They get fired. Bad things happen to people who speak out against the narrative. You know, when I spoke out against the narrative more than a year ago, because I had heard stories, I wasn't born to be an anti-vaxxer. You know, I've had all the vaccines that were offered to me. I believe that the vaccines were safe and effective at the time. I have subsequently discovered that none of the vaccines are safe and effective. And there's no science behind any of these. They haven't done the studies and they don't do the studies because they know the studies would be negative. So we're being asked to take these vaccinations nobody asked their doctor to say, hey, can I see the cost benefit justification, the all cause mortality, all cause morbidity analysis in the aftermarket, where the study was done by someone other than the drug company, by an unbiased, testing organization. Nobody ever asked for that. They all trust their doctors. So it turns out that trust was misplaced because there is no data for any of these vaccines. And it's not just the COVID vaccines. But anyway, I didn't know that at the time. But now it's very clear that these vaccines are killing far more people than they could possibly ever save. And they're also injuring people on a permanent basis, or what we believe is permanent at this time. And the numbers are being covered up. And the fact that this is happening is being covered up. And nobody wants to talk about it because everybody who talks about it gets in trouble. In fact, even in California, they were going to pass a bill to basically go after any doctor that spoke against what the mainstream consensus was. So dissent is essentially, we're going to make sure that we legislate out scientific dissent so that everybody has to say the same thing. And that's very, very destructive. I've never seen that end up with you don't get the best outcomes when you silence dissent. You get the best outcomes when the party who has one point of view meets with the party that has the other point of view, and they engage in active discussion. And that's the way we settle differences in this country, or at least it used to be. But now it's turning out to be, if you have a difference with someone, you settle it by making sure that you silence, deplatform, intimidate the other party, and make sure that other party is never heard from again. That's not the way that we should be settling our scientific differences in America. It hasn't been this way in the past. There is there's nothing in the scientific literature, in fact, in any peer-reviewed scientific study that shows that if you censor people you disagree with, that results in better outcomes, better medical outcomes. So why are we doing it? Well, that we're doing it in order to please our masters, because Joe Biden has said that he wants to vaccinate everyone. Tony Fauci has proclaimed that the vaccine is the only way out of the pandemic. And therefore, if you are against the vaccine, you are anti-science. And so he has created this false perception. And Tony, of course, is credited as the person who funded the SARS-CoV-2, the creation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So not only did he create the virus, but then he led this a campaign which has actually killed more people than the virus has. And on top of that, Tony is making money every time you get a Moderna shot in your arm, Tony makes money. And we don't even know. It's not being disclosed how much money Tony makes. That's being hidden from the American people.
Can I just interrupt just to make sure everyone understands? Yeah. So we're talking about Tony Fauci, right? Anthony Fauci. Unelected.
Yeah, that same guy.
Yeah. Unelected. The way you call him Tony is hilarious. I was like, is he talking about Tony Soprano?
Yeah, my pal Tony.
Yeah. Our buddy Tony. And Tony Fauci did a lot more damage than Tony Soprano, and that says something.
Tony Soprano is like a lightweight compared to Tony Fauci.
Oh, yeah. Soprano is he's right down the middle. So let me ask you, though, just to make sure I understand. I've heard this before. I have not seen it thoroughly reported on. In fact, we got fact-checked by a social media site. Are you saying that we don't know the royalty payments that the highest paid employee of the government receives from vaccine manufacturers? Is that correct?
Correct. Oh, Charlie, look, if we knew that, you wouldn't be the first guy to know. You'd get a message you would get dozens of text messages. Charlie, they finally revealed how much Tony is making on each shot.
But I remember some story. We could pull it up. He said he earned like $180 or something. Do you remember this back and forth? Rand Paul asked him and he's like, oh, I earned like $125. And I'm only just trying to draw on some, because I got some fact check thing. Is that a separate issue or?
Tony has a way of misinterpreting questions that is unprecedented, I think, in the history of Congress, you know, for someone in that position to be not being able to understand simple questions like what is gain of function research. And so it doesn't surprise me that Tony answers the question in a way that it wasn't intended. But you see, there are royalty payments. It's not the Moderna vaccine, Charlie. It's the Moderna NIAID vaccine. It's co-branded with the government. So NIAID, which is where Tony works, gets a royalty whenever their product is sold. But you see, the distribution of that royalty inside the NIH, it's not disclosed. When you try to get that information using Freedom of Information Act request, do you know what you get, Charlie? You get a page of redactions. You don't even know who gets the money, and you don't even know how much each person gets. It is redacted. Now, explain to me how the American people wouldn't want to know that and wouldn't have a right to know how much people in their government, the people who are mandating these vaccines, don't we get to know how much they're getting a kickback on these vaccination programs? So Tony, amazing.
How is it even legal for you to be a government employee and receive kickbacks? What arrangement is this, though? I mean, just remember the examiner. They said Trump was corrupt because he had hotel rooms and some Saudi prince stayed there. And you have the head of the health agency receiving kickbacks. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah. You know, see, the thing is, he was asked by Rand Paul, like, how much do you make? Right. And he said, Senator, that is in the public record. You know, you can ask my office and blah, 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 blah. Tony deflected the question. Tony didn't say, I make zero or I only made 10 bucks. That's what he did not say. So listen to what he did not say when he was asked that question by Rand Paul. Listen to what he didn't say. And he basically deflected. And when you called his office, they say, you know, we're not going to supply that information and so forth. So Tony, you know, Tony makes Trump look like an amateur, you know, in terms of this kickbacks and all this. I mean, Tony is the mastermind. He created SARS-CoV-2. Nobody has figured this out. I mean, all the people who are my friends, you know, they all know, you know, because it's very obvious what the connections are and the funding and all this. You have to go and do the research, and the mainstream media doesn't seem to want to have any interest in this. You know, Professor Jeffrey Sachs certainly spent 2 years doing this at the behest of The Lancet, and Jeffrey Sachs found out, hey, you know, this virus came out of U.S. biotechnology. That's what he concluded. And as soon as he concluded that, they said, no more funding for you, Jeffrey. We don't want to know. No government in the world will fund you anymore to proceed to find out the source of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. We don't want to know anymore, and we don't think the public wants to know either. So they shut down the investigation when they were getting really close to showing exactly how the virus came to be. So Tony created the virus. The virus escaped. Tony created the vaccine. Tony gets compensated every time you get a dose. I mean, it's and the guy is still in power. I mean, that's the mind-boggling thing. He has fooled everybody. He has killed millions of people from the virus. He's killed more from the vaccine. It's unbelievable.
So let's say Republicans take over the Senate and the House. Is it conceivable that Ron Johnson can get an unredacted income statement? Is that something that we could say, hey, you guys get political power, I want to know what Tony Fauci earned in the last couple of years. Is that possible?
I think that's, I'm not sure if they can get the personal income statements.
No, but what he got, I mean, he has to disclose it somewhere, doesn't he? I mean, if not, how?
Taxes, he does.
I mean, then subpoena them. I mean, for goodness sake. I mean, you have a guy that's running the public health agencies that doesn't have to be transparent about what he gets from the very companies that are basically steering all public health.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and, but the, you know, you're out of time here, but I'm not here to talk about Tony. You know, that was kind of a side
issue.
No,
I think it's important because it just hasn't been drilled recently. So it's very
important. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I don't disagree with you. But the bigger story here is that, hey, the Israeli government has determined that the vaccines are not safe and not effective. And you need to be aware of this. You know, at a minimum, it's not safe. And nobody is paying attention. Nobody wants to see that presentation.
Let's play cut 21 saying that you're going to need your recurring booster shot. Play cut 21.
It is becoming increasingly clear that looking forward with the COVID-19 pandemic, in the absence of a dramatically different variant, we likely are moving towards a path with a vaccination cadence similar to that of the annual influenza vaccine, with annual updated COVID-19 shots.
We don't know how much money he's making off that advice. Is that right, Steve?
That's right, Charlie. And in fact, if you look at what's happened in Israel, you know, in Israel, they were one of the most vaccinated countries on earth. You know, they had like, you know, close to 98%, I think, at one point, in terms of compliance with the vaccination. Do you have any idea what the vaccination compliance is today, Charlie?
I think it's gone down dramatically, hasn't it?
2.4%.
Wow.
Virtually nobody in Israel is complying with what the government is telling them. You went from nearly 100% compliance to now only 2.4% of the population in Israel is currently considered to be vaccinated by the government's own standards. 2.4%. 98% of the people in Israel are saying no to the vaccination, meaning that all of their privileges can be cut off and they're treated as, oh, you're an unvaccinated pariah. In other words, 2.4% of the people are saying, hey, you know, we're vaccinated and we are going to disenfranchise the 98% of the Israeli population who is refusing to get updated to the vaccine. Now, if you look at the science behind the updates in the U.S., that it's a two variant vaccine that you get, one for the Wuhan strain and the other one is for the Omicron strain. Now, the Omicron resistance that you get, in other words, the antibody that are produced are variable. They're a factor of 70 difference in the 8 mice that they injected, you know, which is a huge difference. In other words, it's very, very unreliable in producing antibodies against Omicron. But how effective were those antibodies against Omicron? every single one of the eight mice that were given Omicron, that were challenged with Omicron, ended up being infected with Omicron. In other words, the study that they did with the eight mice showed that the vaccine was completely ineffective, 100% ineffective, 0% efficacy in protecting people against getting the infection. Whereas in the original vaccines against the Wuhan strain, they claimed, oh, it would reduce infections by 95%. That's what the trials show. Now, when the trials show that the infection reduction is zero, they say approved. It's a rubber stamp, and they didn't even go to the outside committees to get their opinion on it. It was so obvious to them that the drug didn't have any clinical benefit at all, and therefore the FDA approved it without even going to the outside committee. And so you're going to be required to get that vaccination by your employer, by the government, whatever. Tony's going to get even richer as long as he remains at NIAID. And, you know, of course, this is why he was planning on remaining for a long time. But I think he's realizing that once the Senate turns over,
that's right,
he could be in deep trouble.
And
I think that's why he's running for the hills, and he'll probably be really hard to find in an undisclosed location.
Yeah. I here's my prediction for Anthony Fauci. He buys a villa in the south of France and gets French citizenship because he knows that France doesn't extradite their own citizens to America. What was the name of that movie guy? Roman Polanski. Roman Polanski was accused of raping a teenager, and we've never seen him ever since, even though he's an American. He's French as well, so he's lived out his days there. Something tells me that Tony Fauci might have a similar future. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Steve Kirsch, phenomenal. You're welcome back anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.